Welcome to another inspirational podcast teaching by Nicole Crank, Senior Pastor of Faith Church. Joy reminds me a little bit of a gorilla, which makes me think of when I was 4 years old. It was Halloween, and we got invited by our neighbors to come to the house and get candy. They wanted us to come in the house and see our costumes. We thought it was all cute. They thought it would be funny if the father would come out of the bedroom completely dressed as a gorilla, whole costume. You can't see any of his body, big furry head with this plastic face. You can't see anything but his eyes, and he comes out. And as any normal four-year-old, I run screaming, right? Hide behind a recliner that is blue. I just want to tell y'all, I can't remember what I had for lunch yesterday, but I can remember that the color of the recliner that saved my life was blue. You guys know what I'm talking about. And I am still nervous when I go in the monkey house at the zoo to this day, just being honest. Does anybody else in the room have fears that you know are dumb, you know they are irrational, but you have them anyway, right? So I started Googling, and I wanted to see, hey, what are people most afraid of? So they put this graphic on the screen for me, and it says, the number one fear of people is public speaking. Who does not want to come up here right now? Raise your hand, because if you don't raise your hand, I may call you. And then it's like spiders and snakes. Who does not like spiders, snakes, bugs? How about fear of drowning, fear of heights, fear of flying, fear of the dark? Well, see, fear of the dark isn't on there, but it leads to my next joke, so it was a good segue. You see, there's a little boy, and he is scared of the dark. And so his mama wants him to go get a broom off the front porch. And she says, baby, you go out there and get that broom for me. He says, mama, it's dark out there. She said, baby, Jesus is everywhere. You'll be safe. And he said, mama, please don't make me do it. I'm scared of the dark. And she said, baby, I just told you, Jesus is everywhere. Go get me the broom. And he said, mama, I don't want to. She said, get out there and get that broom. And he said, Jesus is everywhere? She said, yes, he is. He said, well, then I can do this. He promptly opens the door and says, hey, Jesus, if you're out there, would you pass me that broom? Everybody say, no fear here. It's so important for us to know what fear is and how fear works. You see, because fear is the biggest tool of the enemy. It is his big cannon. It's not his little squirt gun weapon, because the Bible says that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. So there are weapons. Everybody say weapons. Weapons. And they are not lightsabers. They are very real. So this isn't his little squirt gun. This is his big super soaker pumped up and ready to fire. These are the big guns. That is what fear is. And the reason that the enemy wants to use fear is because the enemy wants to immobilize us. He wants us to keep us from moving to our future. Because you do have a future, and I know by the word of God what your future looks like. Your future looks like Jeremiah 29:11. It says you have a future and a hope. It is good and not for evil to bring you to an expected end. You have a good future full of hope, full of blessing. And the word blessing defined is fortunate and to be envied. How many of you can say amen for a good God? So the enemy does not have this future. His future is hell, fire, damnation, torture, torment. That is the future of the enemy. So he is jealous of what you have. So his tool is to try and keep you from getting there. And fear is the opposite of faith. It is the exact same thing, but it is opposite. Now this might sound confusing, but I want you to get this because it's super important. And you're going to get it. It's easy. When you look at a map, you see a compass. And the north-south line is one line, right? It is a single line, and it is the same thing. But one direction of the line goes north, and the other direction of the line goes south. So north and south are technically the same thing, just opposite directions of the same thing. If that makes sense, raise your hand and nod your head. So here's the interesting thing about faith and fear. The Bible tells us to walk by faith and not by sight. It tells us to walk by faith. If we are walking by faith, what have we turned our back on? So if the enemy waves some big diagnosis, has some layoffs, impending doom, addiction, problem, it may be real, it may not be real, it may happen, it may not happen. I've always heard of worry being like a rocking chair. It'll give you somewhere, something to do, but it's not going to get you anywhere. So if we walk by fear, what have we turned our back on? And without faith, it is impossible to please God. And it's also impossible to go to the future that he has for us because we're headed the wrong direction. Are you guys getting this? So the enemy, he tries to immobilize us where we are right now. He thinks, if I can just get him to not go any further. And so I want to ask you a question today. If you feel like you're a little bit stuck, if you feel like I haven't been able to move, why am I here? I just can't get going. I want to ask you, where is the enemy trying to attack your life with fear right now? Because he wants you to not move. You know, tigers, the way tigers hunt, they actually have this unfair advantage that they immobilize their prey. And science says that it's something about the stripes, the color of the tiger, seeing that in motion, the audible roar, and there's actually this inaudible part of the roar that is kind of like, have you ever heard boom, 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 coming down the street, but you feel it before you hear it? You know what I'm talking about? So he has that feel in his roar, and the feel, the sight, the sound all together you would think would make the prey run to get out of the way. But instead, it immobilizes the prey of the tiger so he doesn't even have to work that hard to get it. That is what the enemy is trying to do to your future. He is trying to immobilize you and make you stand still, try to make you pay attention to the fear, turn your back on your faith, and steal your future. You look at your neighbor and say, not today, enemy. There's this little church woman. She's so sweet. She's going to an evening service, Tuesday night church. She comes home. She walks in, and a burglar is in her home, a little 80-year-old tiny woman. She walks in there. She looks at him, and she said, Acts 2:38, which is repent and be baptized, all ye sinners, in Jesus' name. So the burglar, he freezes, legitimately does not move. She walks over, calls 911. The cops come, and they are cuffing the man, and they're like, dude, she yelled a scripture at you. Why did you not run? He said, no, she didn't yell a scripture at me. She told me she had an axe and 2:38s. You know, it's a good joke when you laugh yourself. That's what the enemy wants to do. Scare you into not moving when it's in your interest to keep moving. Walking by faith is an action. James 2:17, it says, faith without works is dead. Faith without corresponding action. So here's where we get a little bit hung up. We get in fear, and we might think something real fast or pray something real fast, but we kind of halfway believe it. We don't really believe it on our own, and so therefore we don't actually move on it. Well, that makes our faith, according to James 2:17, if we don't move on it, our faith is dead. Our faith is dead. So he wants us to move on it, which is why the enemy wants to immobilize us. Are you guys getting this? So we cannot be immobilized by fear. So how do we get out of it? Well, we get out of it by something called synaptogenesis, which I'm just really excited that I can pronounce that word because it's six syllables. And I didn't even use my index finger, I used a thumb, so you can see why it might be challenging for me to say a word that is six syllables. But I love it. I love when science proves that the Bible is true. Because what's really cool is when the natural world can finally admit that the spiritual world does reign and does rule and is right through and through, they've got nothing but be able to believe that the Word of God is true. So what synaptogenesis is, it is neurologically programming the human brain. What does that mean? That means they did a study, the National Institute of Mental Health. They did a finger tapping study, and they taught them some random, I'm making this up, this little pattern, but they taught them some pattern of finger tapping. And then they did an MRI to see what part of their brain it woke up. They had them do that for 4 weeks straight, practicing. And then they did another MRI. At the end of the second MRI, they saw that a second whole part of the brain was awake. You see, when we do a repeated task, we recruit new nerve cells and rewire neuronal connections in our brain. So what we actually do is we rewire our brain. Or let's go this way. We are transformed by the renewing of our mind. Or we start to have the mind of Christ. Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. So we need to reprogram our brain to the point where we literally transform our mind. And let me show you how that works. Mr. Audio Man, would you please turn this keyboard on for me over here? TV department, I'm going to freak you all out. I'm going to go way over here to this part where you can hardly see me. I don't play, so don't get too excited. I'm just going to go ahead and give you a disclaimer. But once upon a time, I did. When I was in high school, I played classical piano. And so the last time I played keyboard was probably in October of last year, maybe for 20 minutes with Ashton, and we were just, you know, piddling around playing. But there's something about rewiring neuronal connections that just makes you just remember things that you couldn't remember. So I don't do that. I don't do that every day. I don't do that occasionally. I don't even do that once a year. And I did not even practice to go over to the piano and do that today. I did that to prove a point about synaptogenesis. I did that to prove a point about transforming yourself, your mind, by the renewing of your mind. I did it to prove a point that this thing can become automatic. How many of you play an instrument? So you know that when you play an instrument, what happens is if you get in your head, you mess up your fingers, right? When you know a song, you got to get out of your head. That's why I kept talking, because I would see you guys look at me, and I would get nervous, and then I would think about it, and then I would mess it up. So I had to talk while I did it so I didn't think about it. You see, we need to get so on autopilot with the word. We need to know so what to say in the word. That when the enemy tries to get us in fear in this direction, the word, knowing the word, having it in synaptogenesis on autopilot is exactly what will turn us from fear into faith so that we can walk by faith and not by sight with corresponding action, which will bring us out of trouble. Somebody say amen. Amen. That is how we get out of fear. It says, let this mind be in you, Philippians 2:5. Let this mind be in you that is in Christ Jesus. Colossians 3:16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Well, how do we get it programmed in our head like that? Turn with me to Joshua 1:8. In Joshua 1:8, and let me just take a quick detour right there. If you don't have a Bible, get one. If you can't afford one, talk to me. I will write a check and buy you one. If you have a Bible that is pretty and you can write in, get a cheap one that you can write in, mark up, make purple, blue, green, and orange that you can write in pencil or ink, and nobody's grandma is going to get mad. Because a marked up Bible will save your life. It will save your hide. And I encourage you, when I'm going and I'm listening, I'm getting fed, I bring my Bible with me and I mark that sucker up. Because what will happen is God, this is free, this is not in here. God will speak to you. Where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty. Hello, I wish Donald Trump could have quoted that. I think that's in 2 Corinthians. Never mind. So anyway, where there is liberty. So when the presence of the Lord, when God is speaking, when we incline our ear to hear, so what happens is you come here, you intentionally incline your ear to hear, and guess what happens? You start hearing stuff. But the faithful man shall abound in blessings. So unless we're faithful to write down what we hear. So that means write it in your Bible. Write it in a notebook. Get a prayer journal. Take the notes on your phone. Anytime God speaks to you. And I'm just going to be honest with you. This is something I'm getting better at. Because God will speak things to me through the day. And I think to myself, if you ever do this, I'll remember that. And then I forget until it might be weeks, days, or months later, and something will come up, and I'll be like, oh, God did tell me that, and I didn't write it down. If you want God to speak to you more, if you want God to lead you more, you just write it down and God is going to start leading you more and speaking to you more because he knows you take him seriously, right? Amen? Okay, so out of the free stuff, you paid for this. So Joshua 1:8, y'all didn't laugh. Y'all tithe, right? teasing. Okay, Joshua 1:8. This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall read it and meditate in it day and night. So what were we looking at? We were looking at how do we get the mind of Christ and how do we renew ourselves, transform ourselves with the renewing of our mind. It says right here, you read it and meditate on it day and night. Now that sounds like a little bit like, oh my gosh, I can't do all that. We're not asking you to memorize the Bible. Here's a great thing. Get you 5 scriptures. Get 5 of them. And just like this little finger tapping thing, you learn those 5 scriptures and you memorize them and you know them inside and you know them outside and you know them backwards and you know them forwards. And that way, whenever the thing comes, the report comes, something comes up, you go right to that word and you say, I know what I'm going to tell you. I'm going to tell you that I have no fear in perfect love. I'm going to tell you that I don't have a spirit of fear, but a power of love and a sound mind. I'm going to tell you that my God supplies all of my needs according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. I'm going to tell you by his stripes, I am healed. So you can't come and tell me what the report looks like. When you have those things come out of you, you can feel yourself building up. Even when I'm saying those scriptures, you're like, hey, oh yeah, that's what I believe and that's what God is doing for me and has done for me. Can somebody give God a good amen? So why do we meditate in his word day and night? Is God just a selfish God who just wants us to be his servant? Well, let's see. It says, so you may be careful to do everything in accordance with all that is written in it. Oh, that's it. I just knew it. All these Christians, all these rules, you just got to do everything God says. He wants me to be a robot. God is such a good, good father. That if we called him holy, 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 almighty God, with every breath we had until he died, he would be worth all that and more. But he is not a selfish God. So he wrote everything to give him glory and to help his children. Everything he has done is set up to help us. So he's like, hey, I want you to learn my word. I want you to meditate in my word. And I want you to do my word, but I'm getting ready to tell you why. You see, the Bible is an if then book. If you do what God tells you to do, then you get his blessing. If you do what God tells you to do, then you get all of these things, this future he has for you. So we just read the if, but now let's look at the then. It says, then you're gonna make your way prosperous and you will be successful. How many of you think that a prosperous and successful life sounds good and it doesn't sound like it comes from a selfish God? God wants us to be prosperous. God wants us to be successful. But in order to do that, we have to know his word. He's like, this is the how. This is the way that you get this. He doesn't want us to be immobilized by fear, which reminds me of this captain in the army in colonial days. There was this huge army of horses that comes over the hill, and they're like, oh my gosh, what are we going to do? Captain, what is our battle plan? And he said, the first thing I want to do is I want you to bring me my red jacket. And they're like, really? A wardrobe change? That's what you want right now? He said, if I get shot, I don't want the men to see me bleed. That's why I want my red jacket. Let's go to war. And they're like, yes, sir. So they win the war, and a few weeks later, all this huge armada of ships come sailing over the horizon. They come running to the captain. They're like, Captain, we're outnumbered by probably 100-1. What is it that you want us to do? What is your battle plan? And he says, I'm going to start with a wardrobe change, gentlemen. Bring me my brown pants. Wait for it. There is never a situation in our life where we're going to go to God and God is going to say, bring me my brown pants. No, God knows who he is and he knows what he is capable of. And he knows he can settle any problem we have without any draw on his power whatsoever. All he has to do is look in our direction. And he tells us what to do in Isaiah 41:10. He tells us what to do in 2 words. And then he spends the entire rest of the scripture telling us why to do it. He says, fear not. Look at your neighbor and say, fear not. That's the what to do. And here's the why to do it. He says, for I am with you. Now there he wasn't just saying because I'm with you, like I apostrophe am. No, there is the name of God, I am. Because he wants us to know that the I am is with us in the situation. I am blank. Fill in whatever you need right here. That's the God that's with you in the situation. Because he is everything that you need. He is Jehovah Jireh, your provider. He is Jehovah Rapha, your healer. He is Jehovah Rohi, your shepherd. He is Jehovah Nisi, your banner. And it's a banner year. He is the wheel in the middle of the wheel. He is the great I am. He is Almighty God, Heavenly Father. He is the King of Kings. He is the Lord of Lords. He rules on high, Master of the universe, Creator of all, Author of time. He is God everywhere you go, any hour of the day, and the devil don't scare him. He bruises our heel, but we trust his hand. Amen. Woo! Fear not. I am is with us. Then he says, be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. And then he answers a question that he knows we're already asking. We're asking, I know you're able, God, but will you help me? Because I messed this thing up. You see, I cheated, I quit, I lied, I sinned, I did whatever it is I did, and I don't know if you'll help me here because I'm a sinner. He's like, wow, you just realized you're a sinner? Because I knew that before you were born. Glad you finally got up to speed. He answers a question. He says, yes, I will help you. He knows we're quoting the scripture and we're wondering in our heart, will God help me? He says, yes, I will help you. Yes, I will uphold you with my righteous right hand because I am God and I sent Jesus to die on the cross and shed his blood to cleanse you from that very thing that you've done. And it's the fear of sin. Hello. Oh, it reminds me of another joke. Why did Adele cross the road? To say hello from the other side. So, I don't know where I was at. I started thinking about hello, and then I thought about singing, and I thought, I preached my throat out, y'all. I can't sing hello from the other side. Okay, so, what are we talking about? Fear. Oh, because he tries to get you in fear over the sin that you did, as if it took God by surprise, and that's the reason God's not going to help you. Fear is the total just tool of the enemy. So look at your neighbor and say, the enemy's a jerk. The enemy is a jerk. And God doesn't act like the enemy at all. Whatever the enemy tells you about God that makes you mad at him, afraid of him, not want to go to him, it is a total lie. Because in 1 John 4:18, it says, there is no fear in love. And God is love. There is no fear in God. Okay, well, but it says like fear God. Not fear God like, oh my gosh, he's going to crush me. No, reverence God would be the translation of that word. Reverence God, honor God, lift him up. But then not like be afraid that he's going to crush you because there is no fear in love. But perfect love, our God, it casts out fear. It gets rid of it. It kicks it out the door. Because fear hath torment. How many of you all have stayed up a single night, at least one night in the last 30 days, tossing and turning, thinking about something? That is torment. That means it's linked to fear. That means it's from the enemy, not God. That means it's trying to get you focused over here to keep you from your future. And here God sends me today. And he's like, no, turn them back to fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God and I will strengthen you. So we're supposed to fear not, no matter what thing comes. So thinking of things, you remember when we used to say, turn your neighbor and say, ain't nothing but a thing. Y'all over 30, who's over 30, you remember that? Ain't nothing but a thing. That's what we used to say when somebody would do something to us and we're like, don't worry about it, ain't no big deal, it's nothing. We would say, it ain't nothing but a thing. And then in Philippians 4:6, it says, be anxious for nothing. Let's break that word down just a little bit. Nothing is no thing. Not a single thing are we supposed to be anxious about. You see, the enemy will try and bring us a thing. It's whatever you've been awake for in the middle of the night last night. It's whatever reason that came. He tries to get you anxious about that thing. And God doesn't want you anxious about the thing. So he says, here's how you get rid of it. But in everything with prayer and supplication, don't worry about that word, just pray, y'all. But everything with prayer, we start moving ourselves into faith because we've got a rewired mind that thinks the word of God, and we start putting action with it. He said, but in everything with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, God wants us to thank him and move with him. He said, then the peace of God will guard your heart and your mind through Jesus Christ. So whatever thing comes, you automatically just pray the word that you have learned, and then you grab hands with somebody and you pray it with them. And here's what you say. Okay, so Romans 8:31, you're wondering, what do I say when the thing happens? Well, that scripture says, what do I say to these things? When the thing comes, you said, if God be for us, who and what can be against us? Because God is on your side. The blood has been applied. He's already gone to work on the thing. He's got the plan. He just needs you to push the button to say, go. God wants to move. And then last thing, because I'm already out of time, y'all, I have like 12 more stories, 6 more jokes, and they were all good. But one more thing, because we're out of time. It says that God has not given us a spirit of fear, 2 Timothy, but of power, love, and God is love, and a sound mind. And now we know how. How do you renew your mind? How do you transform your mind? Renewing it with the word of God. We learned how to do that. So it says God has not given us a spirit of fear. And that's where I want to land for 1 second. Fear is a spirit. It's not an emotion. It's not a feeling. It tells us that fear is a spirit. So how many believe there's a spiritual world? How many believe there is a Holy Spirit? So the spirit of fear is not of God. So how do you handle a spirit? Matthew 18:18-19, it says, whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. So when there is a spirit, you bind that spirit in the name of Jesus. And when you bind it here, it is bound there. That is why what words we say are so important, because God so desires in heaven. He said, you're going to be judged for every idle word, and here's why. Because he wants to turn up the power in your mouth. But the problem is, with our mouth, we say, dog, you are such an idiot, and then your best friend turns into an idiot dog. If God turns up the power in your mouth, that's what just happened, right? He's like, I want to turn up the power in your mouth, because God has not given us a spirit of fear. How do we handle it? Bind it in Jesus' name, and whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Then we loose the I am thing that we need. He is what? Our healer, our savior, our redeemer. He's merciful. He's graceful. He's a forgiver. He's everything we need him to be. We loose that. And then Matthew 18:19, okay, Matthew 18:19. So it says then, whenever two come together and to my Father in my name, I will give them what they've asked for. So that's why when you're online on TV, you email us your prayer request at Your New Friend and we pray over it. That's why we're at the front of the stage with prayer partners so they can grab your hand and pray over it. That's why you're in an iConnect, you can grab their hands, and a serving group, grab their hands and pray with these people, because whenever two or three are gathered in my name, it says in Matthew 18:20, I'm in the midst of thee. So there's you, there's your friend, there's God, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. You come together and just let the enemy try and come at you that way, because he ain't gonna get nowhere. So just say to the enemy right now, say, take that.
Amen.
Take that. We're gonna kick him out, and we're gonna live by the favor and the blessing that God has on our life. Was that okay for today?
Yeah.
I feel like I covered 3 movies in 3 minutes, because that was a whole lot of word and a whole lot of teaching in 30 minutes time. I might have talked fast because I was like, but man, I'm tired. I am tired of the enemy trying to come in our house and trying to take our stuff, take our future, take our time, take our energy, not in our house. This is God's house. And we're going to arrest him with Acts 2:38 in Jesus' name. Get out! out of here. We're done. We're going to live. We're going to live by liberty. We're going to live in freedom. We're going to live by the blood of Jesus. We're going to live our future. We're going to live in hope. Because I am done with the enemy stealing from us. Enemy, you know who my daddy is. My daddy, he sent Jesus to die for me. Because I'm the one the Lord loves. You go ahead and you just tell that enemy. Say right now, say, enemy, you are done. It's over. I take the word and I crush your head and I will live the life that God meant for me in Jesus' name. Amen. Give God a shout. Glory.
For more information about Pastor Nicole's teachings and ministry, visit NicoleCrank.com. We will be